We're talking sports every afternoon. This is the Buffalo City Blitz with Ryan King and Patrick McCall on KSJB Radio. Want to join the conversation? Open lines at 701-251-5752.
Patrick joining you here on the Buffalo City Blitz. No Ryan King in here today, but we are getting a special member who is standing by in St. Louis, been covering the Minnesota Twins and St. Louis Cardinals series. Betsy Helfand, who is now the, of course, covers the Minnesota Twins for the Pioneer Press, joining us. And Betsy, how's it going?
Oh, it's great. It seems like it's a nice day in St. Louis, so excited to get to explore and then get back to a couple of baseball games this weekend.
Right, obviously a lot going on, but what did you think kind of yesterday's game? Was a tough loss there for the Twins?
Yeah, it was a little uncharacteristic of Pablo Lopez with the two plays. They could have had the base runners there with the balk in the first inning and the error in the second inning. I'm sure that was a little bit rattling, and then he got hit a little bit on a couple two-strike changeups, which changeup is one of his best pitches, but it was... I think, you know, you saw, you know, some good at-bats. Harrison Bader looked good. Ty France hit the ball pretty well. So, obviously not the way they wanted it to go, but interesting start to the season.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what, as a resident Cardinals fan, I think everybody in St. Louis does get, it's a weird joke that every time they let go of a player, they kind of come back to bite them at some point. And I think Harrison Bader's home run in yesterday's game was kind of evidence to that, in my opinion.
Yeah, he got, before the game when they were lining up on the line, he got a great applause from the crowd. I think he was pretty touched by that. He talked before the game and after the game about how good Cardinals fans had been to him, and obviously got that nice applause there and then went out, you know, hit the home run, hit the double. So it was a nice welcome back for him, and a nice Twins debut too.
Yeah, for sure. That game would have been not as close without his efforts. And, you know, moving off that point, you were, from what I understand, covering some of that spring training as well, or certainly around the vibe of that. Was there any kind of message for this team coming out of spring training that seemed to be a big takeaway?
Well, so... at the beginning, I was there at the beginning and I was there at the end, so I was there for most of camp. At the beginning of camp, there was a lot of talk. Obviously, last year, the way the season ended, they finished 12-27, I think it was, in their last 39 games. So there was a lot of talk about kind of what went wrong. They spent the season kind of dissecting that. One of the things Rocco made a big, point of emphasis was the workouts were more structured, getting everybody out there together, a little bit less individual work, a little bit more, working together as a team. And he was also very big on getting the position players into games more. They tend to not get a ton of in-game at-bats. They get a ton on the backfield, but Fort Myers is, not as close to some of the other spring training sites, so the veterans might not go on a 2.5-hour bus ride. So there's a big emphasis on just getting ready earlier. So I think those were two of, the biggest kind of ongoing things. We saw this spring as they kind of tried to move off of last year's disappointing finish.
Right. And is there any players that you maybe see could be a surprising player to some that didn't get as much of the attention?
I think, we saw this in spring training. Ty France was pretty unstoppable, and he looked pretty good yesterday, too. They signed him this year to a non-guaranteed deal, kind of a late signing, but he had spent the whole winter kind of resimplifying at the plate, resimplifying his mechanics. He was working with former Twin Denny Hocking, and he felt when he got into spring training that he was in a much better place than he had been last year. His last season had been kind of disrupted by an injury, but he was kind of playing through a foot injury, and he looked really good this spring, hit the ball well a couple times yesterday too. So I think they're pretty excited about what they might see from him this year. So I guess that's who I would say. I think he hit over 400 this spring. And obviously spring training results aren't everything, but the process looked very good too.
Right, and we're joined by Betsy Helfand, who is covering the Twins-Cardinals series for the Pioneer Press there in St. Louis. And I know one guy I wanted to kind of mention, does Correa have to be a big leader for this team, or are there any of those guys you feel like maybe have to be the number one player basically for this team to get back to the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, Carlos Correa, definitely. Byron Buxton. I mean, part of what happened last year, the second half, you saw a lot of young guys struggle, and their voices in the clubhouse were kind of missing because they were hurt. So when the team would go on the road, they weren't, you know, necessarily with them. They bring a lot of that leadership, and I think just on the field, obviously, they need the two of them to stay healthy. And once Royce comes back, too, they really need that trio to stay healthy, stay on the field, because this team is kind of, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, depth all over, but those are clearly your top three hitters, and just keeping them on the field is really the most important thing. But yeah, in terms of vocal leaders, that's one of the big things Carlos Correa brings.
Right, and definitely being around the team as much as you have, do you feel like they fully put that end of 2024 in the past?
I think so. I think, you know, everyone came to spring training. It seemed like a good, you know, good frame of mind, good vibes all throughout spring training. Obviously, there was a lot of, you know, I guess introspection this off season, thinking about it, thinking about what went wrong, and, you know, what they could do to, you know, move past that. And then they implemented some of those things. So I think, you know, I think they see that as, that was last season. We've learned from it. I think Paulo Lopez said something along the lines of, like, experience is the best teacher. They learned from it, and now they're moving on, and they're past that.
Right. And speaking a little bit more on that point, does it feel like there's some pressure on Rocco Baldelli to maybe win as the manager here? Because I know some people were surprised he was able to retain his job after just the way that finished, but does he have any type of new message kind of playing off that spring training point?
I think obviously the way, you know, last season ended was a disappointment for him, was a disappointment for Derek Falvey. I wouldn't necessarily say, like, I think he's on the hot seat or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, I think he, you know, had talked about how deeply, you know, upsetting and whatnot, frustrating, angering, all that, you know, last season was. And I think there's kind of a, you know, I don't want to say renewed fired, because that like suggests that it wasn't there to begin with. But, you know, I think obviously last year was kind of motivating for him as well.
Yeah, they will have definitely trying to turn that new corner here with 2025. They do have pretty good expectations, and I believe they could end up winning the division for sure. But I wanted to ask our last one here for you, Betsy. Have you heard any of the, maybe in the rumor mills, of what's going on with the team ownership sale and how that's kind of breaking down? Because there's been a lot of stories that come out that are very interesting about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, at some point in the offseason, it seemed like they were heading towards some kind of resolution close to opening day. And then that big news happened. Justin Ishbia was one of the front runners, maybe the front runner, and he increased his stake in the White Sox. And I think that kind of slowed down this process. So I'm not sure. You know, the last I heard, there was still a good market for them. I'm not sure that we're necessarily going to see anything soon, but I think it will get done at some point, you know, this year, whether that's, you know, closer to the end of the season than the beginning of the season. That's probably what I would like bank on at this point. But I think we will see something get done at some point.
Yeah, it definitely will be. It's an interesting market, and I feel like some of the recent NBA purchases might have helped inflate the Twins at this point, or maybe they can sell for more than they would have thought they would have gotten, because I do feel like there's been some big sales recently. But wanted to cover that. And Betsy, thank you so much for joining us, and keep doing great work, of course, down there in St. Louis covering this series. But again, Betsy Helfand, who is the Pioneer Press, also covers the Minnesota Twins, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.